Assalamu alaikum, everybody. Thank you for all coming here today. We are very fortunate to have Dr. Mohammad Ali Shomali here from Qom. For those of you who don't know him, he's also running a house in for women in Qom, and we're very fortunate to have him here. He'll be here today and tomorrow. So that's December 19th and 20th, and in this hall, in the same arrangement, today and tomorrow at 10:30. And his topic will be on wilayat. So thank you very much for coming, and for Dr. Mohammad Ali Shomali for coming here. Bismillah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-Ali al-Azim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina Abil Qasim al-Mustafa Muhammad. وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين أجل الله تعالى فرجه الشريف وجعلنا من أعوانه وأنصاره وشيعته. Seeking guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and trusting Him, I would love to share with you my understanding of a very important aspect of wilaya, which unfortunately is neglected by nearly all of us. And inshallah, after I finish the talk today and tomorrow, you will share with me about what I just said. This has been my experience, because in the last 2 years I've been talking about this to many different communities worldwide, and they always say, we are very sorry that we never thought about wilaya in this way. Although after you explain, they say it's very obvious, but we never thought about it in this way. I wish everyone of this community, every member of the Shia community in Toronto was here so that he would listen to this. But inshallah, somehow the message inshallah will go on, and I hope that inshallah you will share the ideas with other people. And alhamdulillah, in the last issue of the message of Thaqalain, this also has been published. This is volume 10, number 3 of Message of Saqalain, a probe into the nature of wilaya. So you can have also that as a reference. For most of us, it's obvious that wilaya is a very important aspect of our faith. And we have many hadith. For example, I just mentioned one hadith from Imam Baqir alayhi salam, in which Imam says, "Buni al-Islam ala khams." Islam is founded on five foundations, five important points. One is as-salat. One is fasting. One is zakat. One is hajj. And then Imam Baqir alayhi salam says, and al-wilayah. But then he says, وَمَا نُودِيَ بِشَيْءٍ كَمَا نُودِيَ بِالْوِلَايَةِ. But nothing has ever been considered equal to wilayah. Wilayah is the core. Wilayah is not something next to salat or fasting or zakat and so on and so forth. Wilayah is like the spirit. So a person who lacks wilayah, of course, he's a Muslim if he believes in the rest, but this spirit, this core of Islam is missing. But normally we think that wilayah is the relation in heart between every individual and the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam. So there is a relation between me and, for example, Ahlul Bayt, and in our age, Imam al-Zaman in particular. There is a relation between you and Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam, between every moment and them. So equal to the number of people, we have different cases of wilaya. Like, you know, just parallel relations. And my relation with Imam alayhi salam has nothing to do with your relation with Imam alayhi salam. So as a result, I find it quite acceptable to devote my energy, my life, my time, my brain to Imam al-Zaman without knowing what you are doing for Imam al-Zaman. And this is about the dedicated people. And forget about the people, you know, who forget Imam al-Zaman, you know, and don't work for him. Even those who work for him, they think that it's quite all right that everyone does his share, his contribution, independent from others. I remember once, about maybe 10 years ago, in one of the countries, I had a discussion with some Shia ulama, and they were complaining about one chief alim in that country. And then finally, they wanted to conclude the discussion in a positive way. They said, okay, let's forget him and do what we can do for the sake of Imam al-Zaman. This is the conclusion that many of us come to it at the end. Forget others, let me do something for Imam al-Zaman. But I told them, this is not enough. For the sake of Imam al-Zaman, we have to work together, including this chief alim. It doesn't make sense that everyone decides for himself, plans for himself, and works for himself. Wilaya is only one. Wilaya is the relation which connects all of us to the Imam. So it's not my relation with Imam, your relation with Imam, his relation or her relation with Imam. Wilaya is like the thread which connects all the seeds of tasbih. So all of us are connected with each other and with the Imam and Ahlul Bayt with wilaya. And as a result, I am your wali, you are my wali, and Imam is our wali, and we are his wali. And inshallah, I will make this very clear for you. So my argument here is that despite all the sincere efforts that we see our brothers and sisters over centuries have done to keep this message vibrant and this message be shared with other people to promote the causes of Ahlul Bayt, we are sorry. Please say salawat. We are getting nearly nowhere because we have missed this point. There is not sense of unity that must exist between us. So, having this in mind, I will now give you some references, not from the things that are unknown to you, from the things which are very well known to you. From Ziyarat Ashura, from Du'ai Nutbe, from Du'ai Iftitah, from Ziyarat Aminullah, from Ali Yasin, from all these things that you are familiar with, and you would see that many, many times we have come across these points and just missed the points. But hopefully, inshallah, from today we will start looking into the things in a different way. Now, because we are in Muharram, so it's better to begin with Ziyarat Ashura. In Ziyarat Ashura, there are very profound ideas, like the one I mentioned in the khutbah on Friday. One of those important ideas, which is beautifully explained in Ziyarat Ashura, is this aspect of Wilaya. For example, in one place, we say to Imam Hussein alayhi salam, بَرِئْتُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَإِلَيْكُمْ مِنْهُمْ وَمِنْ أَشْيَاعِهِمْ وَأَتْبَاعِهِمْ وَأَوْلِيَائِهِمْ يَا أَبَا عَبْدِ اللَّهِ إِنِّي سَلْمٌ لِمَنْ سَالَمَكُمْ وَحَرْبٌ لِمَنْ حَارَبَكُمْ إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. O Imam Hussein, I am at peace, Salm, at peace, with whoever, whomsoever is at peace with you. It's very important. This is very big claim. If you say, "Anni salmun lakum," I am at peace with you, this is easy. None of us, inshallah, would fight Hussein. But to say that I don't have any problem with those who have your wilaya, it's a big claim. The people who are at peace with you, I'm at peace with them. This is the challenge. If you really say this, so there must be no problem between you and your brother and sister in faith. But unfortunately, we see sometimes brothers and sisters in faith, sometimes even people in the same family or same community, same neighborhood, they fight each other, they harm each other, they damage the dignity and honor of each other, they backbite each other, they accuse each other. Is this wilaya? I sometimes use this example. When you say to someone, I love you, I respect you, but then at the same time, you beat his children, this person would say, do you want me to believe that you love me? You have done this and this to my children. You have beaten them. You have said bad things about them. You stopped talking to them. You cut off your relation with my children. Now you say you love me? This is our example on Ahlul Bayt. Ahlul Bayt alayhimu salam would not just be pleased if we say we love you, we cry for you. They say, what about my Shia? What about my followers? If you love me so much that you are ready to go into all sacrifices for me, so you have to prove this by having nice relation with your brother and sister in faith. This is the sign of your truth and honesty. Selmun leman salamakum. The same sentence is repeated again in Ziyarat Ashura. After few lines, again we say this. So this shows it's very important. Again we say, Inni salmun leman salamakum, wa harbun leman harabakum. But with the addition, wa waliyun liman walakum, wa aduvun liman adakum. I am wali of not only you, waliyun lakum, no, not just this, waliyun liman walakum. I am wali of whoever has your wilaya. So I'm not only wali of Imam Hussein, I am wali of each of you, and you are wali for me. And this is what we have in the Quran. Al-mu'minuna wal-mu'minat, ba'duhum awliya'u ba'd. All the believing men and women are wali for each other. Walaya is mutual, is inclusive. Waliyun liman walakum. And inshallah, when I get time tomorrow, then I will explain three major elements in this wilaya. What does it mean? What does it require to say, I am your wali, you are my wali? In Ziyarat Ashura, in one place, we say to Imam Hussein alayhi salam, أَتَقَرَّبُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَإِلَى رَسُولِهِ وإلى أمير المؤمنين وإلى فاطمة وإلى الحسن وإليك بموالاة وبالبراءة من أعلى. I seek closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is a means of getting closer to Allah. That I have your wilaya, and also I distance myself from your enemies. This is one place. But the same thing is repeated again, but with an addition. Have you ever recited Ziyarat Ashura like this? That how the wording is so clearly planned that gives this message. We only unfortunately repeat without reflection. So twice we say, أتقرب, I seek closeness. But in the first, two things are mentioned. In the second place, three things are mentioned. In the first, your wilaya and distancing myself from the enemies of you. But in the second, أَتَقَرَّبُ إِلَى اللَّهِ ثُمَّ إِلَيْكُمْ بِمُوَالَاتِكُمْ One. وَمُوَالَاتِ وَلِيِّكُمْ Two. وَبِالْبَرَاعَةِ مِنْ أَعْدَارِ So there is a new element here. I see closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by having your wilaya and wilaya of your friends. Wilaya of those who have your wilaya, the wilaya of your Shia, and distancing myself from your enemies. So it is a very important requirement of taqwa, a requirement for getting close to Allah, that we cultivate this wilaya among ourselves. Muwalat waliyakum. Again in Ziyarat Ashura we say, فَأَسْأَلُ اللَّهَ الَّذِي أَكْرَمَنِي بمعرفتكم ومعرفة أوليائكم ورزقني البراءة من أعدائكم أن يجعلني معكم في الدنيا والآخرة وأن يثبت لي عندكم قدم صدق في الدنيا والآخرة. I ask Allah who has honored me. أسأل الله الذي أكرمني. I ask Allah who has honored me by giving me three things. Allah has honored each of you, inshallah, by giving you three things. What are those three things? بمعرفتكم, by knowing you. This is an honor for us that we have the knowledge about Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. Sunni and Shia have narrated from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, من مات ولم يعرف إمام زمانه مات ميتة الجاهلية. The one who dies without knowing the Imam of his age dies like those who have died in the age of ignorance. This is narrated by all Muslims. To be able to know Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, and in particular the Imam of our age, is very important. And this is an honor for us that Allah has given us this knowledge. Is our knowledge enough? That is another thing. I don't think our knowledge is enough. Our knowledge about Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, our knowledge about Imam al-Zaman is very, very weak and limited. I give you one point, and inshallah you reflect about it later. When we say the one who dies without knowing Imam of his age, why we emphasize on knowing Imam of your age? Why I should know Imam of my age? And this is more important than knowing Imam of other ages. Because if you know the Imam of your age, then you would be able to know what does he want from you in this age. And then you would be able to work for him. Unfortunately, most of us know Imam al-Zaman just as people who lived 200 years ago know Imam al-Zaman. People who lived 1,000 years ago, they had the same knowledge about Imam al-Zaman. What is the difference between your knowledge and their knowledge? Or people who lived in the time of Imam Sadiq, they had knowledge about Imam al-Zaman maybe more than us. Shaykh al-Saduq, Shaykh al-Tusi, they all have books about Imam al-Zaman. Nu'mani has a book about Imam al-Zaman. But this is not knowing Imam of your age. If you want to know your Imam of your age, you must know your Imam. You must know your age. And you must know the will of Imam in this particular age. How many of us know what does Imam al-Zaman require from us at this particular time? So our knowledge is limited. Anyway, أَسْأَلُ اللَّهَ الَّذِي أَكْرَمَنِي بِمَعْرِفَتِكُمْ, I ask Allah who has honored me by knowing you, وَمَعْرِفَةِ أَوْلِيَائِكُمْ, and knowing the people who have your wilaya. So it's an honor for me to know my brothers and sisters in faith, wherever they are in the world. And if you don't have this, you have to work to gain it. And if you have it, you have to be thankful. So it is a test for maturity of your iman, how much you know your brothers and sisters' condition. So it's not enough just you know your imam. If you know, you have to know all the members of the family of imam, of the community of imam, of the people of imam. وَرَزَقَنِ الْبَرَاءَةَ مِنْ أَعْدَائِكُمْ, who has given me the knowledge of you, knowledge of the people who believe in you, and has given me ability to detach myself from your enemies. So as I ask Allah, who has done these three things, to give me the following request. Before I mention the following request, I should draw your attention to a very important point. Whenever in the Quran or in du'as, We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us something. And then we end our dua. Or we start our dua with a quality of Allah. There must be a relation. For example, we say, رَبِّ اغْفِرْ وَارْحَمْ وَأَنْتَ خَيْرُ الرَّاحِمِ. Oh Allah, please forgive me and have mercy on me. You are the most merciful. So, you are the most merciful is connected to your request. So, because he's the most merciful, so you expect from him to forgive you. Yeah? Or you say, أرزقني وارزق عيالي من فضلك فإنك ذو الفضل العظيم. There is a link. You can never say, Oh Allah, please forgive me. You are the best sustainer. Oh Allah, please kill my enemy. You are the most merciful. This doesn't match. Okay? It's clear? So, anytime in the Quran or in dua, you find something mentioned at the beginning or at the end as a name or quality of Allah, so there is a link between that and your request. Here we say, I ask Allah who has honored me by knowing you and knowing your friends and having the ability to discern myself from your enemies to give me the following. So you realize the key for having the following is those three. It's a very important point. If you want them, you have to work on those three. مَعْرِفَتِكُمْ وَمَعْرِفَةِ أَوْلِيَائِكُمْ وَرَزَقَنِ الْبَرَاءَ مِنْ أَعْدَاءِكُمْ. Okay, so what are those following requests? And with this key, we want to have them. أَنْ يَجْعَلَنِي مَعَكُمْ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. I ask Allah to let me be with you in dunya and the hereafter. How can we be with Ahlul Bayt in dunya? Is it to be with them physically? It's impossible. How can we be with them physically in dunya? Even when Ahlul Bayt were alive, even at that time, for sure, it was not a good idea that all the Shia leave their countries and, you know, the town, and they all go, for example, and live in Medina. To be with them in dunya, what does it mean? Means to be with their community, to be in their camp, to work for them. How can I make sure that I am with Ahlul Bayt in my life in this dunya? By knowing them, knowing their friends, and detaching yourself from the enemies. Then you can make sure that you are with Ahlul Bayt. You know, if someone is dying, imagine the father is dying and he has big family, many children, grandchildren. So he is worried about what is going to happen to my family. What is going to happen to their, for example, business, to their education, to their health, to their morale, many, many things, to their honor, dignity, lots of worries. But I think there is one worry which precedes any other worry. What is that? Can you come up with some idea? I think the main worry is my family going to remain united or not? Do my sons start fighting after I die with each other? Or they remain united? If he remains united, They can face all the challenges. If they are divided, even a small problem can make the whole family collapse. This is the worry of Ahlul Bayt alayhim assalam. Are our Shia going to be united and then strong and remain intact, or they are going to fight each other? If they are going to fight each other, they don't need any enemy. They are enough to destroy themselves. So to be with them in dunya means to be united, to know each other, to know Ahlul Bayt, to know our enemies and our problems, and then work for the good of the community. أَنْ يَجْعَلَنِي مَعْكُمْ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. How can we be with them in Akhirah? If you are with them in dunya, then you will be with them in Akhirah. There are beautiful verses of the Quran about the way people come before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment. And then they are sent to heaven or to hell. When people come to the plane of Qiyamah, they come as individuals. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, كُلُّنْ آتِيهِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ فَرْدًا. On the day of judgment, everyone would come as an individual. You cannot go as a group. Every person would carry his or her own a'mal with him or her and stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. كُلُّنْ آتِيهَ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ فَرْدًا. Or another place, لَقَدْ جِئْتُمُونَا فُرَادًا. You have come to us as individuals. But then, what happens is that when all people are there, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls every community to stand behind their imam. يَوْمَ نَدْعُوا كُلَّ أُنَاسٍ بِإِمَامِهِمْ. The day we call every group of people to join their imam. And imam here doesn't mean 12 imams. Imam here means leader. For example, the people who have been following Fir'aun, they all will stand behind Fir'aun. The Quran says, يَقْدُمُ قَوْمَهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. On the day of judgment, Fir'aun will be leading his people. It's not that only in dunya they follow Fir'aun. If in dunya they have followed Fir'aun, in akhirah also they have to follow Fir'aun. But do you know where Fir'aun would take them? يَقْدُمُ قَوْمَهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ فَأَوْرَدَهُمُ النَّارِ. Then he takes them to hell. This is what is happening to the people who have been following people like Fir'aun. سِغَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا إِلَىٰ جَهَنَّمَ زُمَرًا. The people who have had this faith, disbelief, they didn't have faith, they will be led to hell in groups, not individuals. You will always be put in the community to which you belong. Not you belong by name, by reality. I may call myself, you know, Muhammad Ali, Muslim, Shia, but to which community I really belong cannot be just decided according to my name or according to where I pay membership. It can be decided by knowing where does my heart belong to, for which causes I've been working. And the Quran also says, although these people follow Fir'aun, And people like Fir'aun, but there is no love, no passion. Indeed, they try to disassociate themselves from each other. اِسْتَبَرَّ الَّذِينَ تُبِعُوا مِنَ الَّذِينَ تَبَعُوا. The people who have been followed, they would start saying, we have bara'ah, we want to detach ourselves from our followers. Fir'aun says, I don't want to be with these people. But it doesn't work. Allah says, all your life you have been misguiding these people. Now you have to take them to hell, and this is your responsibility without reducing any guilt from them. And the people who have been following Fir'aun, what would they say? This is all mentioned in the Quran. يقولون لو أن لنا كرة فنتبرأ منهم كما تبرأوا منا. They say, we wish we had another chance to go back to dunya and detach ourselves from them as they have detached themselves now from us. They are more clever. They know that it's too late to sort it out there. So they say, we wish we had another chance to go back to dunya and don't follow these people. But this is just a dream. It's not going to happen. So we have to be very careful. But what happens about the mu'mineen? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَسِيغَ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا رَبَّهُمْ إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ زُمَرًا. But the people who have had taqwa, they will be led to heaven again in communities. The people who followed Musa, the people who followed Ibrahim, the people who followed Jesus, they will go after them towards heaven. And inshallah, if we are true followers of Muhammad and Ali Muhammad, we will follow them and they know where to take us. In a beautiful hadith, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said, أَلَا تَحْمِدُونَ اللَّهِ إِذَا كَانَ يَوْمُ الْغِيَامَةِ فَدَعَى كُلَّ قَوْمٍ إِلَى مَنْ يَتَوَلَّوْنَهُ. Don't you praise Allah that on the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would call any group of people to join those they have had followed. وَدَعَانَا إِلَى رَسُولِ اللَّهِ. Allah would ask us to stand behind the Prophet. وَفَزَعْتُمْ إِلَيْنَا. And then you come to us and take refuge from us. فَإِلَىٰ أَيْنَ تَرَوْنَ يُذْهَبُ بِكُمْ. Then do you know where you will be taken? إِلَىٰ الْجَنَّةِ وَرَبِّ الْكَعْبَةِ. By the Lord of Kaaba, you will be all taken to heaven. قَالَهَا ثَلَاثًا. Imam said this three times. إِلَىٰ الْجَنَّةِ ورب الكعبة. See, so if you can prove that you are with them, you are a member of their community, then they will never forget you. And they will take you to where they are going to go. In another hadith, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said, إِذَا كَانَ يَوْمُ الْغِيَامَةِ. When the day of judgment comes, قَالَ اللَّهُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَلَيْسَ الْعَدْلُ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ أَنْ يُوَلُّوا كُلَّ قَوْمٍ مَنْ تَوَلُّوا. Isn't this justice of Allah to let every group of people to be with the people that they have followed in dunya? Isn't this justice? They have spent all their life following someone. So now in Akhirah, they have to be with that person. قَالُوا بَلَى. Yes. People would say, yes, this is justice. قَالْ فَيَقُولُ تَمَيَّزُ. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would tell all the people on the plane of judgment, day of judgment, تَمَيَّزُ. distance yourself from others. You know, like for example, in the morning, before children go to classrooms, they are playing in the school yard. Then they have assembly. Every group knows that, for example, first year, second year, they all stand in queues. Before that, they were, you know, playing around, mixed. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does the same. When people come as individuals, they are just mixed. Then Allah says, تَمَيَّزُوا فَيَتَمَيَّزُونَ. Allah says, stand where you belong to. And then everyone will stand exactly where he has to be. And that is a challenge. Where are you going to stay? Nothing will work there. You cannot bribe. You cannot deceive. You cannot cheat. You will stand only where you are standing now. If you are standing now on the right path, on the right track, if you are with them in dunya, then inshallah in akhirah you'll be with them. So, فَأَسْأَلُ اللَّهَ الَّذِي أَكْرَمَنِي بِمَعْرِفَتِكُمْ وَمَعْرِفَةِ أَوْلِيَائِكُمْ وَرَزَقَنِي الْبَرَاءَةَ مِنْ أَعْدَائِكُمْ أَنْ يَجْعَلَنِي مَعَكُمْ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. This is one request. The second request. How much time we have? What time is it? Okay. The second request. وَأَنْ يُثَبِّتَ لِي عِنْدَكُمْ قَدَمَ صِدْقٍ. I want to have an honest and truthful standpoint with you in dunya and akhirah. I don't want to collapse. I don't want to go away to lose you. I want to be with you. يُثَبِّتَ لِي عِنْدَكُمْ قَدَمَ صِدْقٍ. So I want to have very firm and honest standpoint with you. How can you have that? بِمَعْرِفَتِكُمْ وَمَعْرِفَةِ أَوْلِيَائِكُمْ وَرَزَقَنِكُمْ. The key is there. By increasing your knowledge of Ahlul Bayt, increasing your knowledge about the community and its needs, and increasing your knowledge about what the enemies are doing, the plots that they are making. فِي الدُّنْيَا you will be with them, and fil akhirah. And then, وَأَنْ يُبَلِّغَنِ الْمَقَامَ الْمَحْمُودَ لَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. This is really unbelievable. And it only comes because of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I ask Allah to enable me to reach the praised position, Maqam Mahmud, that you have with him. It's not my position. It's their position. It's their place. You know, like for example, if someone is invited somewhere by a king, by a president, so he's treated as the guest of the king or president. So he's going to be put in the best place. But he says, I don't go alone. If you want me to come, I come with all my people. They say, these people don't deserve that. He said, yes. But if you want me, I cannot go alone. My family, my friends, all must come with me. So the king says, okay, bring them all. Because the king wants them to come. The praised position doesn't belong to us. You know, according to our hadith, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would give the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt a position that even other prophets will feel envy. Yaqbat. This is not jealousy. They wish they had it. And for the Prophet to have this position, he had to work very hard. You all know this ayah, وَمِنَ اللَّيْلِ فَتَهَجَّدْ بِهِ نَافِلَةً لَكَ عَسَىٰ أَنْ يَبْعَثَكَ رَبُّكَ مَقَامًا مَحْمُودًا. Allah says to the Prophet, you must do tahajjud. For us, tahajjud is mustahab, is highly recommended. But for the Prophet was wajib. All ulama say this. Tahajjud for the Prophet was wajib. Unlike what some people think, that, you know, there are some communities, I don't want to mention the names, but they say, you know, our leader or our imam or whatever is so high that he doesn't need to pray. He's so high that he can have gambling. He can drink wine because he's so pure. It's for us normal people that we have to pray and fast and this and that. This is what, you know, some people say. But this is not Islam. The Prophet not only performed whatever he asked us to perform, but he performed much more. It was not that he said 17 rak'ah prayer, he said also all the nawafil. Not only he fasted the month of Ramadan, he fasted more. Not only he went for Hajj once, he went more. So whatever he asked us to do, he did more. So how can you say our imam or our leader or, you know, what you call it, our ghut or whatever, is so pure and so high that, you know, no najasa would touch him, no sin would affect him. This is not making any sense. Anyway, for the Prophet, tahajjud was wajib. And you know, the Prophet was not also doing tahajjud at once. He didn't use to sleep, you know, long time. And he was dividing his night. Sleeping a little bit, waking up. Doing some tahajjud, going to sleep, again waking up. So he was dividing even his sleep. He didn't want to sleep for a long time. Anyway, Allah says, وَمِنَ اللَّيْلِ فَتَحَجَّدْ بِهِ نَافِلَةً لَكَ. Why? عَسَى. So that Allah would raise you, عَسَى أَنْ يَبْعَثَكَ رَبُّكَ مَقَامًا مَحْمُودًا. Allah would give you the praised position. Okay, so he has been given this position. What is my role? I cannot dare of asking Allah for such a position. But if you follow the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt in this dunya, for sure you will be with them. This is why we say in Ziyarat Ashura, وَأَنْ يُبَلِّغَنِي الْمَقَامَ الْمَحْمُودَ لَكُمْ عند الله. I ask Allah to enable me to reach the praised position that you have, not I have, you have with him. Because they don't go without their community. They don't forget you if you don't forget them now. وَأَنْ يَرْضُقَنِي طَلَبَ ثَارِي or طَلَبَ ثَارِكُمْ. There are different versions. مع إمام هدى ظاهر ناطق بالحق منكم. If you want to be able to ask for the revenge for the blood of Imam Hussein, if you want to be with Imam Zaman, again the key is here. You have to be with the community. It's not that every Shia would be with Imam Zaman. We shouldn't, you know, cheat or deceive ourselves. There are many Shia who may stand against Imam Zaman. There's no guarantee. This has happened always in the history. The Jews were waiting for Jesus. But when Jesus came, many of them didn't believe in Jesus. And they finally got involved in, you know, conspiracy against Jesus. Many Jews, many Christians, They went to Medina just waiting for the Prophet of Akhirat Zaman to come. They didn't belong to that land. They knew that he is going to come there. So this is why many tribes of Jews and Christians, they went to Medina and they lived there waiting for the Apostle of God to come. But when he came, they didn't believe in him. Only little. Many Shia are waiting for Imam Zaman. Even many Muslims, because Mahdi is an Islamic idea. It's not only Shia idea. But when Imam Zaman comes, many of these people who are waiting for him, they would say, no, we were not waiting for you. We had another idea. So there is no guarantee. The only way to make sure that you would be able to be with Imam Zaman is to learn from now how to have this spirit of belonging to the community of Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam. If now you can learn how to compromise about your own ideas, your own preferences, and sacrifice everything for the community of Ahlul Bayt, then you would be able to stand with Imam Zaman. Otherwise, you would start first disagreeing with Imam Zaman and then rejecting Imam Zaman. May God forbid, but this is reality. This is going to happen. So this is why we ask in Ziyarat Ashura to be able to be with Imam Zaman. Okay. So this is about Ziyarat Ashura, and I gave you some ideas about this societal, this collective aspect of wilaya based on Ziyarat Ashura. I give you one more dua, and inshallah we will continue this discussion tomorrow. You are all familiar with Dua-i Ahd. In this Dua-i Ahd, after few lines in which we mention some of the qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we start sending salutations to Imam Zaman. Allahumma balligh Mawlana al-Imam al-Hadi al-Mahdi. So this is morning, early morning. For example, after your Fajr, you want to recite this ziyara, and you want to send salutation to Imam Zaman. So say, oh Allah, please send on my behalf my salutations. But before you say my salutation, you say something else. Do you know what you say? Do you remember? بلغ مولانا الإمام الهادي المهدي صلوات الله عليه عن جميع المؤمنين والمؤمنات. Before you say send salutation on my behalf, you say please send salutation on behalf of all believing men and women. It's early morning, you may be sleepy, but Ahlul Bayt tell you, you must remember all the followers of Ahlul Bayt. And before actually remembering yourself, send salutation on the behalf of all the mu'mineen. Jami means all. Mu'mineen wal mu'mina. But still, it is not enough. Fi masharigh al-ard wa magharibha. In the east and the west. So early morning, 6 o'clock, or in summer, 4 o'clock, you have to remember all single moment, every single moment in the east and the west. You have to have concern. This concern is very important. في مشارق الأرض ومغاربها. برها وبحرها. Whether they live in land or in ocean, in seas. If there is a mu'min living in the Republic of Dominican, or I don't know, if in an island, If he's traveling on a boat, it's all included. سهلها وجبلها. In the plain or on the mountain. So you have to literally think about every single moment. And then you say, وَعَنْ وَالِدَيَّ وَعَنِّي. And after that you say, my parents and myself. But first, you must remember all mu'min. So, let us stop here and have some chance if you have some questions. And then inshallah we will continue this discussion tomorrow. And I hope that inshallah you would inform also other brothers and sisters to come, because this I think is very important aspect that unfortunately we have not reflected upon enough. If you have any question, any comments, I don't know if you have microphone to go around or... This is a very important point. I think what Imam is telling us is that Iman can only exist when you practice it. Iman, faith without practice, is like a building without foundation. You have to fast, you have to pray, you have to give zakat, but you also to have wilaya, not as a theory, as a practice. It's very important. You have to practice wilaya. Many of us believe, but we don't practice it. So I think this is very important point that I am thankful to you that you raised, that wilaya must be practiced. It's not enough just, you know, we read and, you know, talk about it or believe in this. You must show it in your life. How much commitment you have to this wilaya. Any question?
I over the years have heard the emphasis on wilaya. Sometimes we are accused of promoting exclusivism within the Shias as opposed to the whole Ummah of Muslim. How is that?
Yeah. This is also something that I have mentioned in that paper. And I am thankful to you that you raised it now. This understanding of wilaya is not against any other community. It's not we want to have this wilaya so that we get rid of others. No. Indeed, if we achieve this very united community, then we would be in a better position to have unity with the rest of Ummah. And if all Muslims are united, then we would be in a better position to have unity with the people who believe in God, but they don't believe in Islam. So, we have to build Unity upon unity. This is very important. This is based on our understanding of Tawheed. Whoever is a good believer must always work towards bringing people together. Bring family members together. Bring extended family together. Bring the local community together, the national community together, all Muslims together, all believers together. This is the requirement of Tawheed. And on the other hand, the people who have satanic ideas, the people like Pharaoh, they always try to divide. وَجَعَلَ أَهْلَهَا شِيَعًا. Shia is different from Shia. Shia means groups. Pharaoh was dividing people. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings people together. Allah says in the Quran to the Prophet, اذكروا نعمة الله عليكم إذ كنتم أعداء فألف بين قلوبكم. Remember the blessing of Allah. You were up to yesterday fighting and killing each other. You know, Aus and Khazraj in Medina were killing each other for years. But Allah brought their hearts close. فَأَصْبَحْتُمْ بِنِعْمَتِهِ إِخْوَانًا. You became brothers. So, I am very much concerned about Islamic unity. I am very much interested in Sunni-Shia dialogue, in Islamic and other faith dialogue. And I think I have shown this in my life. But having said that, at the same time, I think we will be in a better position for dialogue when we are all united. Otherwise, what happens is, you know, like what we have today. Some call for dialogue, some call for war, some call for enmity. And we have to be, I think, fair. It's not only the non-Shia who cause, you know, problem. No, sometimes our own people who cause problem. They don't work for unity. They try to provoke, you know, others. Who is doing more or less, this is something else. But we have to accept that even some of our own people also are not working hard for unity. So, I believe that we have to work hard not to lose any opportunity for bringing people, for bringing hearts and minds closer. This is my understanding of Tawheed. If ladies have questions, please put forward. Assalamu alaikum. You know, if you want to, for example, as a student, if you want to gain knowledge, okay, you have to love your teachers. Because if you hate your teachers, I mean, if you hate the school and you hate the books, you will never become knowledgeable. This is our example. We want all to learn Islam. But Allah says, Islam comes to you through the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt. And you have to love them, not because they gain something from your love. This is because of you. If you don't love them, then you don't learn. This is why the Quran says, and we have this also in Dua Notebook, these ayat are mentioned also in the beginning of Dua Notebook. The Prophet said, لا أسألكم عليه أجرا إلا المودة في القربة. I didn't ask anything, any payment, any return from you, except to love my Ahlul Bayt. But then Allah says, قل ما سألتكم من أجر فهو لكم. Whatever I ask you is for you. To love my Ahlul Bayt is for your own sake. And elsewhere he says, إِلَّا مَنْ شَانْ يَتَّخِذَ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِ سَبِيلًا. If you want to take this as a path towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, the love for Ahlul Bayt, which alhamdulillah all Muslims have. Today, I don't think we have any Muslim who has enmity towards Ahlul Bayt. In the past, you know, there were Nawasib, but I don't think any Nasabi exists today. They all love Ahlul Bayt. But the challenge is this. If you love Ahlul Bayt, but then you don't follow them, this is not enough. It's just, you know, half of it. Allah says, إِلَّا مَنْ شَاءَ يَتَّخِذَ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِ سَبِيلًا. So the love for Ahlul Bayt must give you the path towards your Lord. So we love them so that we follow them. Unfortunately, some Muslims love Ahlul Bayt, but they don't follow them. And also, unfortunately, we Shia love them, and in theory we follow them, but in practice also we don't follow them. I cannot say, you know, that we follow Ahlul Bayt completely. Yes, in theory we say we have to listen to Ahlul Bayt, we take our fiqh from them, we take our akhlaq from them, our aqidah from them. We say, but how many of us actually follow them? If we had only in every town, just maybe if we had few hundred of real followers of Ahlul Bayt, we could change the whole town. But sometimes we may have, you know, hundreds of thousands, but no one is interested. Why? Because we are not really followers. We just claim. You may have heard the story of those people who went to Marv to see Imam Reza alayhi salam. And they wanted a meeting with Imam Reza alayhi salam. And for many, many days, Imam was not giving them permission. Then one day, Imam accepted them. Have you heard this story? It's very important. So when they met Imam, they complained. They said, you know, why you didn't let us, you know, permission, didn't give us permission to meet you? We are your Shia. Imam said, the reason I didn't give you permission because you were liars. You were saying that we are your Shia and we want to meet you. I didn't give you permission because you are not Shia. The last day, you said, we love you, I gave you permission. You can say you love me, but you cannot say my Shia. So as long as they were saying we are your Shia, Imam didn't give them permission. Because Imam said, I don't see the characteristics of Shia in your face. So, the love must generate obedience. The love must generate following. In theory we have this, but unfortunately in practice, not that much. Any question? Okay, so I think end here. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah, to forgive us, forgive all the shortcomings, all the mistakes that we have had, and inshallah give us the courage, give us the understanding and the wisdom, inshallah, to understand what He wants from us, and then inshallah being able to carry out. May Allah inshallah hasten the reappearance of Imam Zaman, Jalallahu Ta'ala Farajahu Sharif. May Allah inshallah bring peace, justice, equity for all people of the world. And may Allah heal all ill brothers and sisters. May Allah inshallah forgive all marhumin. And may inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us and our children, generation by generation, amongst the best followers of Ahlul Bayt alayhim assalam. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Inshallah, tomorrow we will continue this discussion at 10:30, inshallah.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum. Thanks, Sheikh, for the. Just to let you know that Sheikh already said that tomorrow is going to be the program again at 10:30. He will continue the program. Today we're going to have JSS program at 1 o'clock. The subject is going to be men's, boys to men's. The age is for age 14 to 18. The second session, instead of the Sunday, is going to be instead of tomorrow afternoon, the next session is going to be on December the 25th, Friday, at 10:30 for the JSS. Now I would like to call Oni Mamdani to update us on the program. Brother Oni.
Assalamu alaikum. I just want to let you know if people who have missed today's seminar on Wilaya, as well as for tomorrow's, we are having the same subject seminar next Saturday at Taj Banquet Hall at 10 o'clock in the morning. And it will go up to lunch. After Salat, there will be lunch provided. But we need to register. You can call me or get in touch with me on my email. It's oni.mamdani@rogers.com, and my phone number is in our Jamaat directory. It will be at Taj Banquet Hall, 10 o'clock, both for men and women of all ages. Please reach out to others who have missed today's session, and those who are even today want to repeat it, you are most welcome. Salawat. Sure, if that's what you want.
Thank you. After ziyarat, please be seated so we can serve you the tabarruk. Can I call Ali Jawad to do ziyarat, please?
Assalamu alayka ya Rasulullah. Assalamu alayka ya Amir al-Mu'mineen. السلام عليك يا فاطمة الزهراء سيدة نساء العالمين. السلام عليك يا حسن المجتبى السلام عليك يا عبد الله وعلى الأرواح التي حلت بفنائك. عليكم مني جميعا سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار. ولا جعل الله آخر العهد مني لزيارتكم. السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين. السلام عليك يا علي زين العابدين ومحمد الباكر وجعفر الصادق وموسى الكاظم وعلي الرضا ومحمد زكي وعلي النكي والحسن العسكري ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام عليك يا صاحب الأسي والزمان الأمان 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 من فئنة الزمان. السلام عليك يا شريك القرآن وكعبة الإيمان وإمامنا وإمام الإنس والجان. أجل الله تعالى فرجك وصحب الله تعالى مخرجك وظهورك ورحمة الله وبركاته.